Look at that retard were my exact first words when I laid my eyes on the thus far only real non-Eminem crush of my life, Dylan. I was completely unattracted to Dylan when I spotted him out my school bus window, clumsily walking down the sidewalk like he was a little drunk. He looked like a post-apocalyptic white Urkel after downing a couple NyQuil cocktails and licking a few fentanyl lollipops. I really thought he was special. In 10th grade, Dylan ended up in my math class. I still wasn't sure that Dylan wasn't special ed because they integrated us like that sometimes, and we were the lowest level math class. But I had heard from a few people that he was like a walking drug encyclopedia and that he could get his hands on virtually any drug you could imagine. I decided that sounded useful, so I befriended him. It was a vulnerable time in my life. I dropped out of school that year. My best girlfriend and I started growing distant. My mom and I were plotting ways to rid our lives of my crazy dad, so I needed some kind of friend and some kind of an adventure. Me and Dylan broke into my dad's room one night with a safety pin and stole some of his Vicodin and drank some of his aged wine. So it's kind of blurry as to why I felt this was a good idea, but he convinced me that we could make some serious money going through people's unlocked cars. He said that he and his friend Donnie car hop all the time, so I went against my gut feeling and left my parents' house at 3 in the morning to go rummaging through people's cars. You wouldn't believe how many people leave their cars unlocked in the county. It's like Canada. We managed to steal $17 in cash and a few things that seemed like they might be worth some money. A cell phone, a samurai sword. Plus, we both found new pairs of sunglasses. I felt like Faye Dunaway in Bonnie and Clyde. And who doesn't have that fantasy? We were so deranged that we didn't realize the sun had come up when the police rolled up. What a scene that was. Dylan wearing stolen sunglasses, wielding a samurai sword around like a little prince of shit. I got off scot-free telling the juvenile judge that I was dared to do it. Dylan, on the other hand, was already on probation, so he ended up getting put on house arrest. It bothered me that nobody seemed to care that he was all alone in his house, that with that ankle bracelet, drugless, with his crazy mother that leaves notes around the house, reminding herself Dylan is responsible for his own actions. So I started trekking 3 miles every day to his mother's to keep him company. We always managed to scrape up enough money to get some kind of drugs. And when we didn't, I'd go to the grocery store and stuff my pockets with boxes of Robitussin and Delsim. We'd crouch on his basement, watching episodes of House all night long. When we heard his mother's footsteps upstairs, I'd hide in the furnace room behind the pipes, sometimes for hours at a time, because he wasn't allowed to have visitors, and it would extend his sentence. I got caught in there. At some point during that year, I realized I had developed a strange physical and emotional attraction to the boy I once thought was mentally handicapped. I had developed my first crush. One night, Dylan told me he was bisexual. Yes! An opening, I thought. We were drinking a big thing of Jägermeister, and the two of us combined weighed less than 200 pounds soaking wet. So the whole night is really fuzzy, but I confess that I really liked him, and he told me he really likes me too. I woke up the next morning, literally standing up, looking down at him, laying on his mattress. And I was fully dressed, and nothing happened. But even though we had so much in common, a love for chemicals and drug movies, we both suffered from depression and self-mutilated. We were both nearsighted. Despite all that, I found it really hard to believe that anyone could really love me. And so it never really came up again, and I really didn't feel like I could bring it up once he started these long-distance relationships with fat emo girls over the internet. I continued being his little drug mule for almost a year, all while secretly still crushing on him, until he was sent to Hickey School for Boys. We all know that place. Because he threatened to cut his mother's boyfriend. By this point, my mom had successfully saved enough money to get us a little one-bedroom apartment away from my father. But the void in my soul was still very much there. I spent every day he was gone missing him, thinking of how brilliant he is, between his poetry, his exquisite taste in television shows. His extensive knowledge of drugs. He knew how to extract pure DXM out of cough syrup. And he had so many homemade drug contraptions, I could be storytelling on the stoop all night. I dedicated Coldplay's The Scientist to him while I was gone, and I'd sit around weeping while listening to it. I wrote sappy poems and sent him letters obsessively, like I was his prison wife. He made me feel so special when he would use his little bit of phone time to call me. But when he got out, things were different. He wasn't on house arrest anymore, and I started to find him annoying, because I couldn't leave freely when I wanted to. When his mom kicked him out a few days after his release, my mom reluctantly agreed to let him stay with us so long as he would fix our computer. This was when the facade of Dylan came crashing down. He would mope around our tiny one bedroom like a housewife watching Young and the Restless all damn day, and ended up messing up our computer even worse to the point where it was unrepairable. The once brilliant Dylan now seemed whiny, narcissistic, and worst of all, weak. I felt like Hickey wrecked him up in the head a little bit, but maybe it was just that I finally was seeing through my mushy cloud of what-ifs. What if we became our own little unconventional family with a little black cat and me cooking breakfast every morning, swatting flies out of her sunny-side-up eggs, sometimes accidentally squishing them into his yolk and then laughing about and serving to him anyways? Getting discriminated against for being homosexuals by stoop lady neighbors with unshaven legs? Ah! The possibilities, of course. None of that was ever actually in the cards, and I realized our love story was much more likely to end with us both overdosing in some crusty public bathroom. So, my mom kicked him out, and my attraction for him had basically completely faded away after him staying with us for 2 weeks. It wasn't nearly as romantic after I realized he didn't need me nearly, I didn't need him nearly as much as he needed me.